This is Alex Tathakis from the Denver Pioneers, and you're listening to the DeFly and Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the DeFly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. Featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analysts, and my fellow Hopkins alum, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Last week provided all sorts of drama and storylines, and this week the party continues with seven marquee matchups between top 25 teams. We'll look back on that wild week, sit down with one of the captains from the nation's new number one ranked team, Alex Tathakis from the Denver Pioneers, and we'll preview all those special games ahead this week and more. Lots to get to. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dix, I have a question for you. Are you not entertained? What a week, man. What a week.
Was a great week. I am feeling the effects of a lot of travel, weather, a little bit of a cold, but I'm here representing. And it was a crazy week, a week that you saw in the Inside Lacrosse media poll, giant jumps, Denver 4-1, Hopkins 8-2, Army is in the top three. That was the question that I was getting starting really Sunday afternoon from various people. What do you think the rankings are going to look like? And you always try to keep it in their perspective, but also not trying to be a wet blanket. When you say, look, rankings don't mean anything. It's a great week-to-week exercise. It's fun for me to sit down Sunday night, put my top 20 together, but it really has no bearing whatsoever on the big picture. That's all RPI, strength of schedule, quality wins, all those different metrics. But it was a great weekend, week of college lacrosse. The competitiveness, the fan support, really just a super fun week.
Yeah, so let's kind of go through it.
Well, where do you want me to start? I guess I could start Friday night. Horrible weather. When I say horrible, just pouring down rain all game long at Dorrance for North Carolina Princeton, a game that Princeton really took control of in the second quarter. Got to spend some time with my man, Tom Giannakos, a director with ESPN, now semi-retired, living in the Chapel Hill area. Tom, and he reminded me of this, not that I'd forgotten about it, but Tom loves lacrosse. And years ago, when I was officiating a Loyola, North Carolina scrimmage at Ridley in Baltimore, I wore a body cam trying to give people up-close looks at the face-off and when guys check one another, and when guys body check one another. It didn't work out, but Tom was the driving force behind that. So we had a laugh about that. But miserable night in Chapel Hill, and I'm sure it was just as bad in Durham. So we saw Colton Mackesy, the first time I've seen him play in person. That kid can bring it. Great shooter. Mike G, our guest, your nephew from last week, said that Colton might be the best shooter that he's ever faced. Now I see what he's talking about. And then down the road in Durham, is it Brendan Lavelle, defender for Penn, did a great job on Brennan O'Neill. And then the argument popped back up again, or the discussion. Does Duke not include O'Neill enough in their game plan when things go south? Or does Brendan O'Neill take plays off, quote unquote? And I think you have two schools of thought on that. It could have just been option C. Maybe the defender for Penn and the Penn defense and their goaltender, Emmett Carroll, just did that good of a job on the Tourette Trophy winner and really the best player in lacrosse as we speak. So that was an interesting debate that came up. And I guess with what those two losses, the ACC was then what? 0-4 for the week. And then when Hopkins beat Virginia the next day, 0-5, When's the last time all five ACC schools lost back to back to back to back to back? But it was funny. People, you included, started throwing dirt on the grave of the ACC.
I knew it was
Lo and behold,
temporary. I didn't say
48
anything.
hours or 36 hours later, guess who comes back from the dead? The ACC with.
That's why I had to say something. I knew it would be short-lived, and I needed to get my comments in. And I waited. I waited till after the Hopkins game. I didn't want to speak too soon on
That is
Friday night
true.
and jinx the
You were
Blue
sitting
Jays.
there waiting. That thumb was just twitching on the send button. You had had it in the queue for 12 hours, and then finally you were able to hit send.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, really, really entertaining games. That Hopkins Virginia game was an exceptional game. Just a back and forth game of runs. The Blue Jays, I mean, I think coming into the season, everyone rightfully so thought that Notre Dame, Duke, and Virginia were really separated. And this kind of brought them a little bit back to the rest of the pack. I still think that those are probably the three best teams in the country. And
You
it'll be
still feel
so.
that way.
I do. Especially after watching Duke play in person on Sunday against Princeton. But I still feel that way. I mean, just watching Notre Dame playing against Maryland, and I still feel that way. But again, it's super exciting for lacrosse fans to see these non-conference games that are just so entertaining and so. Just to see the athleticism on display and the matchups and just great play across the board. Really, really fun weekend. Really fun.
Well, Virginia Hopkins featured looked like a nice day in Charlottesville. Great crowd, great energy. And for Hopkins to get that win on the road, I mean, when 16 and 51, Collison and Peshko both show up at the same time, Hopkins is that's a tough out when those two are getting downhill on you. And they both did that against Virginia. Late in the game, you could see Connor Schellenberger trying to take the game over. And I, again, was in my text group with my Hopkins boys. And I basically was like, they just can't let number one beat them. Like, they can't let him individually, they make someone else beat you. And I think it was after he had scored a goal and gotten an assist, he went to the goal a third time and just got triple teamed and lost the ball, got knocked to the ground. It's like, that's what Hopkins has to do to win the game. Chase Erland also played his second straight really, really good game between the pipes for Johns Hopkins. Notre Dame, Maryland. I mean, what a difference a week makes. Notre Dame just so efficient. And really, like Maryland did Maryland, if that makes sense. Controlled the fa it went 50-50 at the faceoff, right, with Luke Wehrman. Controlled possessions, rode like crazy. Good team defense, got great goaltending. Notre Dame was looked terrific on Sunday against Maryland. The other game of note, that Penn State Yale game, Yale was up 9-2 at some
Yes.
point, and Penn State came storming back and then eventually won that game in overtime. So hats off to the Nittany Lions. It seems like that loss to Colgate in the first week of the season is a long distance memory at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And it sets up a really intriguing weekend ahead that we will get to in a second. Dick's got a lot of love for the Mike G interview from lots of people, and I appreciate all of the feedback. And one of the guys
You
I
should, you
saw.
got a lot of, you gave yourself a lot of love on that. The D Fly Dixie podcast tweeted out like eight pictures of D Fly and Mike G throughout the years.
The kid's living his dream
Yeah, I know.
and
I'm
has
just teasing.
deserves it. But we saw our old friend Gene Vigue. I saw him at the game on Sunday after the Duke Princeton game, came to say hello. I want to give his son a shout out. Zach is the goalkeeper at Richmond, having an awesome season, saving 63% of his saves and really playing really well for the Spiders. Dix.
I saw George G and Tracy G. They came up, found me at the Carolina Princeton game. I put an order in for some type of Italian baked dish from
Yeah,
your sister.
I heard about it. I heard about
So,
that. They
are
said
we
you're
getting
looking
it, or
good.
is it just did she just tell me that to get me off her porch?
No, you'll get it. You'll definitely get it. But yeah, I had a really fun weekend down there, and it was great to get out and see some games. Dixie, speaking of seeing some games, and you were talking about how you wore like a body cam to give up close and personal experience when
Yeah, a
you were
long time
refereeing.
ago.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the college lacrosse live experience that Corrigan Sports is doing. There's no better way to experience college lacrosse up close and personal than at any of the three college lacrosse live events this season. You can be a part of the action for the Delaware and Syracuse game on March 16th at Paul VI High School in Chantilly, Virginia. Blue Hens and Orange will face off at 2 o'clock in the first event of the College Lacrosse Live Series this season. Adult tickets are $25, and for youth fans ages 12 and under, only $12. Fans can also purchase tickets for a VIP hospitality experience that includes sideline access, food, and beverages. To learn more about the series and purchase your tickets, visit collegelacrosselive.com to get your tickets today. That's March 16th, first event of the season of the College Lacrosse Live series. Get your tickets at collegelacrosselive.com. Delaware versus Syracuse, where lacrosse is up close and personal. All right, Dixie, we have a great guest this week, Alex Tathakis from Denver Pioneers. Let's bring Alex in and talk to him a little bit. Our guest today is Denver's Alex Tathakis, a grad student and All-American. He is one of the top face-off specialists in the nation. He's a team captain for the number one ranked Denver Pioneers. Alex, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Alec, let's start off with some of the business that's happened in Denver's over the last year. You were recruited by legendary coach Bill Tierney, in my opinion. I think Mark would agree, probably the greatest college lacrosse coach of all time. And now you transition to a new coach. It's really a changing of the guard, a new era for the Denver Pioneers. Yet he was on the staff before and has been a and Coach Brown has been a vital part of the program for decades, really. But how is his style different? How is the tone different in practices in the locker room under Coach Brown?
Yeah, I think a lot of what we do is very similar under Coach Brown as it was Coach T. For example, we still have the mile every Monday. You can count on that. You can count on the run test. You can count on things like Red Rocks. It's traditions we have here at Denver. But they definitely do have different coaching styles, and it's really been, I think it's been a flawless transition. I mean, Coach Brown has been here pretty much ever since he left college and played here. He's a pioneer for life, is what we say. And we talk a lot about being a pioneer, and I think Coach Brown is the best example of what a pioneer is. And I also think Coach Brown's a great motivator. He's very level-headed during games. I mean, we've pretty much seen a lot of different situations, a lot of different games this year. And it's good to look into a coach that's level-headed. Don't get too high, right? Don't get too low. You might have the lead. You might be down 4 or 5 goals. So, definitely a little bit different coaching styles. Both are great. Both obviously work, but I think it's good, and I think it's cool to have, a little bit of a new around here, a little bit of freshness. So it's been great so far.
Can you elaborate on the Red Rocks and the Monday run test?
So every year in the fall we go to Red Rocks Amphitheater, which is it's
Yeah.
probably 30, 45 minutes away from Denver, and we do a relay test with teams. So we split the team up into groups of five, and then you have to run the rocks from the bottom to the top. And if your team wins, you're out. If your team loses, you have to keep going. So you hope you draft a good team. It's kind of a
Yeah.
fun little tradition we do. Then so we have the run test here. It's when you get back from the summer, then in the winter to make sure you're in shape. And it's pretty simple. It's a mile and a half around a track, so 6 laps, and it's 9:15. And then during season, we have the Monday mile, and I like it. We did it at Culver. We also do it at Denver, but it's a good start to your week, right? It's like, if I can do the Monday mile, it's 5 laps around the field. If I can complete the Monday mile, then I could do anything this week. You know what I mean? It's a good hard reset after the weekend.
And what's the time for the Monday mile?
That's 6 minutes.
That's good. Hey, so
No, thank you. I couldn't do 6 minute mile when I was in high school.
Yeah.
so Denver is the new number one ranked team in the IL media poll. It's first time since 2017, off to a great 5-0 start. Tell us about the Denver Pioneers team in 2024.
Yeah, a lot's changed around here. Obviously, we have a lot of, we have a new coaching staff. We have Coach Brown as a head coach. Coach Metzbauer is our offensive coordinator. But I think we just have a different energy this year, right? And I think we have a team who's really bought in, and we have a lot of players with experience. I mean, if you look at the LN, we have guys like JJ Silstrop, Jack Tortolani, Noah Manning, all guys who have been here, all guys who are juniors, seniors, or grad years. And they really seem to be flowing. Then you look down to our D end, and we have guys who have started for 5 years. We have guys like Adam Hanglin, Jack DiBenedetto, AJ Mercurio, Jimmy Freehill. They've played together for so long that they just kind of know each other's tendencies, right? But a big thing that we've been talking about this year is just not kind of getting ahead of yourself, just taking this thing week by week, because really the only thing that matters is what you're ranked at the end of the season to make the NCAA tournament. And I think we have bigger goals than just being ranked number one for however many weeks. We have goals. We want to win the Big East. We want to go to the national championship, win the national championship. So it's cool, but we also want to stay level-headed and kind of have this mindset of never being satisfied.
You've mentioned mindset a couple of times in the first couple of questions that we asked you. I want to take it back to the mindset in the season opener against Johns Hopkins, where you guys are down by 3 goals with 4 minutes left in the game. You mentioned Coach Brown, whether you're ahead by three, down by three, you want to keep the same mindset. What was it like on the sideline at the faceoff dot, being a part of that game? And what enabled Denver to come back on the road to knock off Hopkins?
Yeah, I think when you're in the game, right, you have to break it down to the nuts and bolts. So it's what am I doing and what is kind of like my next job or my next role. So for me, it's I need to win the clamp, I need to exit, I need to pick up the ground ball, I need to give it to our goal scorers. And I think when you have trust and you have belief in your teammates, you don't think ahead. It's not, hey, we need 3 goals. It's, hey, we need the next goal. And another big thing we've been doing around here is believing in each other through preparation. So it's Monday through Friday. We know the scout, we know what these guys' tendencies are. We've prepared for them so much that no matter how the game is going, we believe we'll win when we're in the game. And that was a great game, and we had big players step up at big moments, and that's what you need to win lacrosse games.
What was different that game, having Matt Brown in charge versus having Bill Tierney in charge? If you've even given that a minute of thought.
No, I really haven't given that thought, but I think both coaches are very similar, right? They lean on their players to make the decisions and kind of make the decisions for us to win the game. And like I said, I think both of them are great motivators. It's hey, we're gonna get the next goal, we're gonna get the next face off, or we're gonna get the next defensive stance. So it's really just motivating the team. But I will say it was the atmosphere at Johns Hopkins was awesome. I mean, it there's no cooler place to play for, so we were really excited about that.
Alec, you are carrying on an awesome tradition of faceoff specialists at Denver. Started really with Jeff Snyder about 20 years ago, carried on by guys like Chase Carrero, and then really two of the best guys, maybe ever, or at least in recent history, Trevor Baptiste and TD Erlen more recently, and now you. How much pride do you take in that as part of like Denver being, faceoff you or? And how important is it for you to carry on that tradition and what drive your game?
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and it's cool having those guys because they still show up to practice. I mean, I've met all four of those guys you mentioned, and I do take pride in that. And it's cool that they still come. Trevor still comes out to practice to take draws against us. Having TD here, we had TD here my junior year. So that was the first year of the rule switch. So it was from knee down to stand up. And it was so cool to be able to go against somebody and kind of figure it out with him, right? Because both of us were mostly knee down face off guys. So it was like, hey, you might have to do this. This is a little bit different, the way you cock your wrists. And it's cool to talk a high level with those guys about face-offs. But is it a big responsibility? Yes, but it's a responsibility that we're up to the challenge. And I mean, we have other guys, I wouldn't be a good face-off guy if I didn't shout out my other face-off guys here. John Totaro, Charlie Cesar-Dulo, Braden Lair. Those are the guys that grind and get me ready every week. Those are the guys that counter me in a certain way or pick up on the tendencies of the Fogo that we're about to play. Watch film with me. I come to the sideline, they say, hey, or I ask them, hey, what are you guys seeing? And they tell me and we kind of figure it out together. So those are the guys that don't really get the light, but should.
Face-off rules continue to evolve. Seems like annually they're tweaked with the new rules, no motorcycle grip, underhand only, whether or not the referee puts the ball down or, is already down and you go up to approach. How have you had to adjust your game and your style to fit within the current rules of the face-off?
Yeah, I think so. The biggest rule switch has been just from going knee down to now, and it was motorcycle grip, to now stand up and what's called neutral grip. So your top hand is under the shaft. And it has been a change, right? I've had to change a lot of parts about my game, including what face-off head I even use, because what's good with different exits. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen is you just have to be an athlete out there, right? It's not about so much how good you are at winning the clamp. Everybody likes to win the clamp. It's, people take pride in winning the clamp. It's really about winning the ground ball. And I watch college face-off guys, and I think over the years they've just become more athletic. I've lost some weight myself, so I'm able to be faster. I'm able to pick up those ground balls. But I think a big part of face-offs is just adapting, right? You might see, I mean, we play 16 games in the season or something like that. You see all kinds of different face-off guys. You see all kinds of different styles. And the more you're able to adapt during a game, the more you're able to switch up what you do, the better off you are. But at the end of the day, if you just be an athlete and you say, hey, I'm going to win that ground ball, there's nobody that can really stop you.
Last season, you took every face-off for the Pioneers, 374 face-offs, every single one, all season long. That's unbelievable. What do you do week to week, day to day, to recover and to stay fit and ready? Like, what is your routine from just maintaining over the course of a season like that?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a rough season, but staying healthy is always a top priority, right? So I do all kinds of things. I do rehab every day. I'm in the training room early. I do rehab with my strength and conditioning coach, Massimo Geoffrey. He has a whole shoulder plan for me because a lot of face-off guys have different shoulder injuries. But it's really just staying up on it every day, right? Going in the training room early, making sure you're taking an ice bath after, because it is a long, grueling season. But if you take care of your body, you'll be healthy. And that's definitely priority number one.
Last week, we interviewed one of your former teammates, Mike Gianfricaro, who's playing at Princeton. You probably see Culver guys almost every week when you go play a Division I opponent. We talked to Mike about how Culver kind of shaped his leadership. You're a team captain at Denver. Three-part question. One, what was that experience like playing at Culver? How did it help shape your leadership style as a team captain and as a player? And also, what do you miss most about Culver?
I loved playing at Culver, right? I mean, it's such a cool experience, and it's an opportunity that a lot of people don't get. But how I describe it is you're basically, so you get there and you're 14, 15 years old, and you're without your parents. You kind of have to grow up a little bit early, right? And Culver's an institution, as I'm sure you guys know, maybe the listeners, but it's an institution that uses a military-based system to instill leadership into their cadets. So there you learn all kinds of, you learn, I think the biggest thing you learn there is time management, right? You have your military obligations, obviously you have your lacrosse obligations, then you have your school obligations. You kind of have to balance those three. So I think it was a seamless transition when you get to college because you've already been balancing this for so long. You've already kind of been without your parents for so long, that once you get to college, it's a little bit easier. But do I miss it? Yes. Would I do it again? I don't know. But it's so cool seeing guys that played for Culver, and now I'm old. I'm a grad student, but so some guys I don't even know. But it's an instant connection, right? If you went to Culver, because everybody knows what it's like, and everybody knows how tight kind of that brotherhood is, and how tight knit that family is. So it's really cool seeing guys all over the country on at all different divisions, at all different levels. But for the most part, pretty much on every team, there's one Culver guy I know that I can talk to after the game, and it's a big family, so it's really cool.
This Denver team in 2024 currently ranked number one in the Inside Lacrosse media poll. You guys 5-0, two biggest wins, Johns Hopkins we already talked about, a one goal victory over Cornell. Who are some of the players on Denver that people need to know about in this 2024 season?
Well, I'm going to be biased. I'm going to start out with guys on the rope unit, AJ Mercurio and Casey Wilson. These guys are two serious players, and I think AJ has some of the best stick skills that I've ever seen in a long pole. I think he's had a goal in almost every game we've played, but he's a party starter, right? There's guys that score these goals that give so much extra energy, so much juice to the game. AJ is definitely one of them. And then Casey Wilson is one of the, I think, one of the best short stick defenders in the country. He played for Team Canada in the summer, the men's team, the U21 team, but he's our lockdown D middie. And he pretty much picks up everything at off the ground. And then if you look at the offensive end, kind of keeping on the trend of these energy guys, I'd say Michael Lampert. He's a smaller guy, but he's one of the hardest guys to cover. I try to play D middie in practice, and he makes me look terrible. But he's a great player, and when he scores, when he gets an assist, he's another juice guy. And obviously, we have JJ Silstrop, one of the best shooters on our team, can pick corners. Noah Manning, Jack Tortolani, all these guys. But the thing is, one guy might have a great week. He might have 5 goals, 6 goals, whatever it is. The next week, it's completely different. So, the wealth has truly been spread on the offensive end. And that's what I like to see, right? Everybody's scoring, everybody's contributing. And you kind of never know when your number is going to be called, when maybe they're not playing you hard or they're sloughing down to JJ more. So it opens up more in the midfield, whatever it is. And if you look on the D end, I kind of said this before, but we've had these guys who have played together for so long. Our close defenses, Jack DiBenedetto, Adam Hanglin, Jimmy Freehill. Jimmy's a junior from Boston, very aggressive player. He's another guy that kind of gets the defense going, right? He's kind of the voice down there. And then we have our two lockdown guys, Jack and Hanger. They're great. They've been working together for 5 years. They're special. So, I mean, we have so many guys. It's hard to say everybody, but it's the way we work as a unit, right? It's the way that, hey, maybe the offense isn't doing well, so we're gonna have to lean on the defense. I mean, and I think two of our games we've had 7-minute defensive possessions. That's pretty impressive.
This weekend, you'll welcome another top 20 opponent to Peter Barton Stadium when Yale comes to town. What have you seen from Yale on tape, and what do you think some of the keys to the game are for your Pioneers team?
Yeah, I think the biggest key for us is just kind of controlling the tempo of the game, right? It's easy to let the game get out of the control. Maybe you fail clear, and then you have to play defense again. Now it's probably not the right time to push transition, right? It's just controlling that tempo of the game. And when you're in control of that, you control when you score or when the other team scores. But Yale's a good team, a very capable team. But we're excited to welcome them to Peter Barton. I think it's you know, the same thing, business as usual. What we've been saying is belief through preparation. So, you know, it's what we do Monday through Friday, or in this case, Monday through Saturday, since it's a Sunday game. And it's making sure our scout guys are giving us the right looks. It's making sure we're diving into the film. So we're prepared, and there's not a doubt when we step on that field on Sunday.
All right. You ready for some quick hitters?
Yeah.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you love it, right?
Yeah.
1 to 10, what's your thoughts on the new design of the field on Peter Barton Stadium?
I'm a 10. I'm biased, though.
Nice.
I'm a 10.
What is your go-to campus food spot at Denver, in or around campus?
I would say Tacos El Matate. They serve breakfast burritos that are $3. So you get a few of those in the morning on the way to class. It's easy.
I love it. All right. What's your favorite road venue to play in and why?
Like a different stadium other than Peter Barton?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like, I would say Duke's a cool atmosphere, and they have some of the nicest grass in the country.
All right. What is the best food or dish that your mom makes?
Wow. That's a good one. Again, I'm biased because steak's my favorite food, but when my mom makes steaks on the Traeger, that's my favorite dinner. That's a special dinner, right? But that's a good one.
All right, what's your favorite DU team to go watch and support?
I like the Denver gymnastics team. It's such a different sport than lacrosse, but it's so cool. They do it in the hockey stadium here, and they pretty much sell out. But the way those girls can kind of do all those different flips and their coordination, it's impressive.
Funniest guy on the team?
Ooh, I'd have to go Michael Lampert.
Favorite Taylor Swift song?
Wow, 22. That's a good question, though.
Who's the best face-off guy that you've ever gone up against?
I'm going to name two. T.D. Erland, Trevor, and then a close third is Jeff Snyder.
All the DU legends right there. All right, what is the best thing about Denver, Colorado?
I would say having the mountains there all the time. I mean, it's cool. You can see the mountains from campus, and just I was here over break, being able to go up there and go on hikes or you know, go see things in the mountains. It's pretty special.
Are you a TikTok or Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, but I scroll on TikTok too much.
When you guys travel on the road, where's the best place, the best meal or dinner team spot that you go to?
Maggiano's.
It's always Maggiano's. And finally, who's your favorite all-time Culver goalkeeper?
Wow. Mike Giambaccaro. That's the man.
Come on, man.
I won't put that in there. I'll cut that out. Or maybe I won't.
You can put that in there. There's been so many good ones.
There's been some really good ones. Yeah, there's some comes. Hey, Alec, thank you so much for joining us. You have a great interview. Really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your Pioneers teammates, not only this week, but throughout the rest of the season. Really, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan. Thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Another great guest, Dixie. We're 3 for 3 this season with college players coming on here. And they are much more media savvy than you and I would have been back in the old days when we were in college. I would have not been able to provide such good answers to questions from people.
The very first time I did radio, it was a dry run. It was a scrimmage between Villanova and Hopkins. I think the year was 1996, if not 1997. And the radio station recorded it for me. I was filling in for Jody Martin, I think, at the time. So I was with Larry Quinn. and the amount of interrupters that I used, and and kinda was enough to fill a gymnasium. So that's how I would have been had I ever been interviewed back in the day. But yeah, these kids are smart. They're witty. They're down to earth. And I'm thinking Culver might have to pony up some sponsorship dollars because you're just lining up these guys like it's your job.
Well, they're prominently making moves and waves across the college lacrosse landscape, and it just seems like they're the guys we want to talk to most of the time. But yeah, they're so composed, so poised, and as good an interview with Alec, and he's.
I think that's a good like little peek behind the curtain. So obviously when we go to a program like Maryland, like Princeton, like Denver, we give what, three names? We're like, hey, we're looking to talk to one of these guys.
Yeah, and often it's, hey, this is the time that we have
Yeah.
available to record. Can you provide a player or a guest to come join us? And a lot of times SID or the media relations person sets those up.
Yep.
And they're like, yes, you definitely want to talk to Ajax Zapatello. He'll be a great interview. And
Yeah.
that's sort of how it works, or this time, Alec. And so thank you, Nico Blankenship, for setting that up for us this week. And he's got a big game coming up. So let's get to the game previews, Dixie. There's another incredible slate of games. I'm loving this non-conference season. There's so many good ones. And it starts on Saturday when number eight Cornell, who's 3-1 on the season now, travel to State College to take on the 11th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions at noon. And fans can catch that on Big Ten Plus.
The good and bad thing about lacrosse still being in only what 72, 73 Division I teams, we get this cross-pollination. We get these great out-of-conference games. The Tamboni Bowl, Jeff Tamboni, former head coach at Cornell, now at Penn State. Both teams coming in with positive momentum. Cornell, a nice home win over Ohio State a week ago, where CJ Kirst, I believe, scored 7 goals in that game to really lift the Big Red to victory, playing against the Nittany Lion team that we referenced it earlier, fell behind by 7 goals to Yale, but behind the play of TJ Malone in particular, was able to pull out an overtime thrilling victory for them, for Penn State at Panzer. And this will be a terrific game. It always is between Penn State and Cornell when whenever these guys get together.
Number four, Notre Dame, 3-1 now in a season, will travel to Columbus, Ohio to take on the number 24 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 4-2 now. That game's also at noon and also available on the Big Ten Plus network.
Yeah, and this is a game that, two Midwestern teams and they enjoy playing one another. It's been a great series. So Mike Preston for the Baltimore Sun reached out to me this week and asked me to provide some commentary around Notre Dame and how balanced they are. And I guess up until he asked me the question, I haven't covered Notre Dame yet in 24. And I really didn't give it a lot of thought. But when you think about it, they are. I mean, obviously it starts with the Cavanaughs. But you still have Taylor at the attack, Devin
Dobson.
McClain, Eric Dobson in the midfield. McClain can bump down and play attack as well. But I think what makes them different and more dangerous this year is Jordan Faison, freshman. Everyone knew he was going to be athletic, electric athletically, but his skill and his scoring has been a much needed, boost to Notre Dame. They face off incredibly well. They got a great rope unit. The defense might be no name compared to years past, but they're still stingy and as ever. And oh, by the way, they got the best goalie in the country in Liam Entman, who played terrific on Sunday against Maryland. Against an Ohio State team, another close loss on the road, but you feel like this Buckeye team is really growing up right in front of our eyes, gaining confidence by the week. And by playing this tough out-of-conference schedule, it's going to keep their metrics pretty strong. And I think it's really preparing them well for the Big Ten season. That might be as competitive as it ever has been. But they absolutely have an opportunity to win this game this coming weekend against Notre Dame. They're just going to have to face off really well. They're going to have to get great goaltending, and they're going to have to be really efficient in their shot selection. Against the Fighting Irish.
in a battle for Philadelphia supremacy. Number 14, Penn, take on number 22 ranked Villanova, who's 3-2 now after their overtime win over Drexel on Tuesday night. This game is at 1 o'clock.
I had a chance to see Penn in person on Sunday against North Carolina. Gabe Fiore is big, and he is very smooth. Really, really good midfielder. Great shooting stroke. Very, very silky in his game. Emmett Carroll, their goaltender, really good. Thought he, you know, Carolina had some good scoring opportunities, especially in the first half, and he kept them at bay. Only gave up 2 goals by halftime. But this is a Penn team. They're talented, you know, and they're deep. They ran at least 3 midfields against Carolina and shortened their bench in the second half. But they've got athletes and they've got guys that can get up and down the field whenever Philly Pride is on the line. And Villanova's a team that I think they've really improved so far in this 2024 season, and stole one on the road against the Dragons. So it should be a really good game.
Some people think that the biggest game at 6:30 on Saturday night will be the Duke-Carolina basketball game, but it's not. Let's talk about the other game that's going on in the state of North Carolina at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday night, and that would be number 2 Johns Hopkins versus number 9 Syracuse Orange.
Huge game, and yeah, I'm bummed that this is not at Homewood Field or in the Dome, because you want to talk about a crowd. But yeah. Hey, Carolina is a burgeoning area for lacrosse, and I'm confident that the North Carolinians and other folks in the surrounding area will come out and support this game. Huge game for both teams. Syracuse knocked off High Point in their last outing, getting the taste of the Army loss out of their mouth. And Hopkins, how confident do you think they are at Homewood? The social media for Hopkins. Do you follow the Blue Jays?
Of course I do.
They're a little over the top. I think the narrative has been, inside lacrosse included, Syracuse Hopkins and the Face-Off yearbook, we're back, or back, was the front cover, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hopkins, after the Virginia win, so Paul Rabel put up a meme of Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that one.
With the caption, hey, yeah. Let everybody know, we back up.
Yeah,
I like that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
right?
It's cool. A little edgy.
But then Hopkins social media is putting it up, we never left. Just big win, move on to the next. I don't know.
What people don't know when we record this, Dix, is last week you giving me a hard time about the Wake Forest court storming. And we went on for 11 minutes about Duke getting beat by Wake Forest and court storming and whether people should do it and all blah, blah, blah.
John Shire hurt himself getting off his high horse after a press conference.
We cut all that out. But let me put it this way. Hopkins does not storm the field against any opponent. Never, ever. This is not going to happen. There is no win that Hopkins is going to have except the national championship where people would run onto the field. So they never left in that regard. And they're always, they have a target on their back. But yeah, this is the game between two teams that are back this year. And, you know, Hopkins, 5-1, they're ranked number 2 in the country. Could be 6-0, maybe. You know, I think they feel like they gave one away to Denver to start the season. And a Syracuse team that has played a tough schedule to date. You know, they lost to Maryland and they lost to Army, two really, really good top 10 teams. And this should be a great game. How do you think they match up? How do you think they match up? What are some of the keys in this one?
So looking at the game itself, two really good teams. Both are athletic. I think Hopkins could have the advantage in the face-off department. Who gets better goaltending? I mean, you're talking about Chase Erland, the seasoned vet who's played great the last couple of weeks against Will Mark. Really, when you look at the 2023 season for Syracuse, the brightest spot from that ball club. Then you look at the offenses. Hopkins midfield has the potential to take this game over, just like they did last week against Virginia. Will they do it? Can they do it? That is going to be really interesting. One player who is putting together a really good season for Syracuse, and he's become their enforcer in a lot of ways, Billy Dwan. Hopkins fans recognize that name.
Sure
Young,
do.
younger son of Bill Dwan, Blue Jay All-American, and then, of course, longtime assistant coach at Homewood Field. So a lot of frontline stories, backline stories. Whenever Hopkins and Syracuse get together, it's super special. And this game hasn't been this big between these two programs in a number of years. This game is gigantic.
It's going to be great. All right, moving on to Sunday. There's three more games featuring two.
Oh, my God, there's more?
Yeah, but wait, there's more. On Sunday, there's three more games that we got to talk about. Each of them has a top 20 team facing off against each other. And it starts in the Battle of New Jersey. The number 15, Princeton, takes on number 16, Rutgers, at noon.
Is it Bon Jovi or is it Springsteen? Take your pick. The Tots Maestro Cup up for grabs between the Tigers and the Scarlet Knights. A lot of star power around the field in this game. Mackesy, Mike G. On the other side, Rutgers, Knobloch, Ross Scott. Always an entertaining game when these two get together and battle for the rights of the Garden State. This is like a cop-out, pick'em kind of game. Princeton and Rutgers. Where's the game being played? Is it at Tiger Woods or is it?
It's at Rutgers.
It's at Rutgers. Oh, yeah. So the horn gives the Scarlet Knights, call them a half goal favorite in that game with the horn.
Yeah, this is gonna be a big game. I think this game will have implications on postseason stuff. So it's real important for either of these teams to get this win. Again, it's not gonna make or break them, but I think this will be a nice feather in your cap to get this W and have it later in the season. Another big game, number 19, Harvard, plays at number 13, Michigan, a 5-0 team versus a 5-1 team at noon on Sunday.
Michigan slowly piling up wins after the season opening loss to Virginia. I also got confirmation from my sources. Kevin Connery never called the ACC the Pretty Boy League or Pretty Boy Conference. He just said the Big Ten were not the Pretty Boy Conference. Take that for what it's worth. Now they're taking on a Harvard team that cracks the Inside Lacrosse top 20 media poll. Love Sam King. Owen Gaffney's a really good player. This will be a good test on the road for the Crimson, playing a Michigan team that just went on the road and beat Delaware last weekend. So a nice win over a quality Bluehead team. This will be a good game.
And finally, rounding out the weekend, talked to Alec earlier. His Denver Pioneers, now ranked number one, will take on number 12, Yale, at 2 p.m. at Peter Barton Stadium.
Another Ivy League opponent invading Denver, the Mile High City. Cornell came in, left with a one-goal loss a few weeks back. Yale team trying to get it together after surrendering a seven-goal lead on the road against Penn State. Matt Brandau continues to score at a high clip. And in Denver, we talked about J.J. Silstrop and his supporting cast, but I loved how Alec Statik has talked about his rope unit. They could be the difference in this game.
All right, lots of exciting action. Again, plan your schedule out now. Get ready to watch all these games at your convenience. And better yet, get out to a game. I think I'm going to head up to Jersey and watch that Princeton-Rutgers game. So I'll
Are
be able
you?
To report from that game next week. All right, Dix, it's time for a give and go, which is presented by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. All right, Dix, we both each separately made the road trip down to North Carolina. I had my family in the car, and we had to make a couple of pit stops. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to rank fast food restaurants. It's got to have a drive-thru, so it's not no kind of sit-down thing. Think of it, you maybe even back in the day, a few years, you got the Owen, Matt, back in the back seat, and you're driving somewhere, going to a tournament, going to a game, and you just got to get off the road real quick, roll through a drive-thru. Where are you stopping? So I'm going to give you a list of options, and you can select from my list. or you can even add your own. But I'm thinking, you know, those big blue signs where it says like exit, and it's got like the
Yep.
gas station logos, it's got the hotel logos, and then it's got like the restaurant logos. All right. Got Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, Arby's, and when you go down to North Carolina, Bojangles. All right.
Yeah.
So you got that list. Oh, and let's throw in KFC too. All right. So it's I got a Bojangles, Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, Arby's, Popeyes, KFC.
As my old high school soccer coach, Father Tom Collis, would say, that's garbage, sir. Panera, number one. And we stopped both. So Erica was kind enough to drive this past weekend because I was dragging after the week in Dallas. And so on the way down in Ashland, Virginia, hit
Yeah,
the Panera
know that rest stop. Yeah.
with a drive-through, but we went in and I got a tuna sandwich and the autumn squash soup. The squash soup is unbelievable.
If I told Bennett Flynn, who's 8 years old, that he has to get some autumn squash soup and a sandwich from, he would just say no, and probably throw it out the window of the
Well, that's
car.
just bad parenting. You don't ask, you tell. So, and yeah, and Eric and I were without the kids, but the kids ate Panera when they were younger. They have
There's
mac and
no,
cheese. They have
it's,
other, flatbreads and other, and
I'm
sandwich.
just.
My kids like sandwiches.
I don't hate. There used to be a Panera across the street from Inside La Crosse. We used to go there for lunch a couple times a week, and it was always missing one element. Like I feel like the sandwich is just missing love. It was missing love. There's no
Well,
love in a
you're
Panera
in Baltimore
sandwich.
City, first of all. You ain't getting any love from the Panera.
There's missing one ingredient every time.
Understood. On the way home, stopped again, and I got a regular turkey sandwich and the broccoli cheddar soup.
You went to the same restaurant?
Same one. Yeah, it just worked out that way. Kind of like going
Halfway, kind of thing.
down. Erica's getting a little low on gas, need gas and food. All right, let's stop here. And then on the way home, Erica's like, we weren't super hungry, but we knew we were going to need something. And because we weren't cooking when we got back. And, I was like, if we could find another Panera. And sure enough, that's the one that came up, Ashland,
Wow.
Virginia. But so am I supposed to rattle off from
Yeah,
your
no,
list?
yeah, I don't know. Like, here's how, let me say where I would go, and then you can just
Yeah, go ahead.
comment on each of these
I
things.
mean, Chick-fil-A is obvious, the obvious choice out of all those you listed for me would
Yes,
be Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A would be top in my car as well. I really, again, eating a lot of Chick-fil-A. There was a Chick-fil-A that was across the street from on Pratt Street from, and we used to go there. I started
Did that
a
one lack love as well?
No, it was good. I just couldn't. I stopped eating there. Like I had maybe I like overkill, and every kid wants to go to Chick-fil-A all the time. So what I found that I really like though is their salads that they have at Chick-fil-A. It's like I love their nuggets, but the sandwiches. I don't have the bread. I always feel crummy after I eat Chick-fil-A, except the salads are awesome. But I can't eat a salad while I'm driving the car. So I
Right.
sort of was like, I'd rather not do that. Now I love Arby's. I could eat Arby's all the time, and that's Bennett Flynn's.
We have the meats.
If Bennett Flynn, if you gave him the choice of like the greatest, like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, he'd be like, no, Arby's. I want Arby's.
Bad parenting part two.
Just turned 8 years old, man.
You don't ask, you tell.
And then, so Chick-fil-A first, and throw Popeyes and KFC out because you can't really eat fried chicken and while you're driving a car.
You can
It's
eat the
just,
chicken sandwich from
it's a little
Popeyes.
messy. And then, I'd say McDonald's would be the next choice. We ended up stopping at a Wendy's though. Wendy's though. That's where we went, and there was something for everyone to get. Burgers and
I like
fries.
Wendy's. Wendy's is underrated. Truth be told, I haven't been to a Wendy's in ages. I'm sad to say I did go to a McDonald's when I was in Chapel Hill for the Duke Clemson women's game. And it was really because it was right across the parking lot. But get this, they did a chicken, egg, and cheese biscuit. I got chicken, egg, and cheese biscuit, which is normally what I would get breakfast wise at
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. And they had it, and McDonald's coffee is pretty good.
That's
So I
a
got a large iced coffee and a chicken, egg, and biscuit, chicken, cheese, and chicken, egg, cheese biscuit from McDonald's.
That's must be like the chicken part must be like a North Carolina thing. That seems like
Probably
something
Southern.
northern.
Yeah, if you ask for that in Baltimore, you might get looked at funny.
And the Bojangles are great, man, for breakfast
I've
especially.
never been to Bojangles.
Oh, it's good. You got
Is
it.
it good?
Yeah, my
Another one I would throw in there, and they're not as plentiful or, as many of them as Sonic. I love
Oh
Sonic.
yeah.
Sonic's awesome.
I don't know if I've ever my brother Jim's family loves Sonic. Like that's like his favorite stop. He seeks out Sonic's. And I know another guy who's like that too. I don't think I've ever eaten Sonic's food though. I don't
Make
think I've
it because
ever
there's one. I know there's one right around the corner from our house across from
on 40,
DZ
right?
Diner. Do yourself a favor and you know what? I'll take you there. My treat. Let me know
Okay.
when you want to go to Sonic.
All right. Thanks, Dix. Yeah, so you know what you can get at Wendy's now? You remember the Frosties? It was
Yeah.
always chocolate. You can get a vanilla Frosty now. I didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah, Bennett got a vanilla Frosty. He was very excited about it.
The one thing about Wendy's is I feel like they're always poorly run, mismanaged. I've never been in a. I like the food. So when I was in high school, being down the beach for extended periods of time, I used to love Wendy's. I used to like live on Wendy's back when my metabolism could handle it. And I didn't feel that way about Wendy's. But I think the last time I went into a Wendy's, which was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I mean, it's just, they're all just like run down. The people working there don't care. It's dirty. Yeah, it's not a great experience.
I
Guess that's why
assume
you hit the drive-through.
the drive-thru, you don't have to see it all.
Yeah.
You don't have to see it all. That seems like a good place to stop. A big thanks to our guest this week, Alex Stathakis. Best of luck to you and your Denver Pioneers team this week and throughout the season. A reminder that the DFly and Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Be here all season. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app, whether it's the iTunes app or the Apple podcast app or the Spotify app, whatever. Even if you catch it on Inside Lacrosse, leave a message for us. Tell a friend about it. Share the love. Doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And maybe you'll make some new friends. We always love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dflyanddixie. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the games.